Welcome to Human to Human. I'm here today with Dana, my roommate that I lived with last year.
Hello.
Do you want to give a little introduction of like who you are, what you're studying, what you're up to?
Yeah, sure. So I am Dana. I was Jess's first year roommate. Last year, I am at Ryerson. I'm studying early childhood studies, so early childhood education. In my second year, 20 years old, live downtown Toronto. That's me, basically.
Sweet. So I'm so excited to talk about therapy with you because honestly, I feel like you were genuinely, I think, one of the first people, definitely like one of the two first people to ever like normalize therapy for me and talk about it in such a really awesome and open way. And I like, we have had many therapy conversations. And I remember even like while we were living together, you were like, you should try it. Like there is so many like good things to take away from it. So I'm excited for you to like share your whole journey and kind of what got you to kind of start going and what you've taken away from it.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm the biggest advocate for therapy, I think, not to exist, but like to exist. I was literally having a conversation with my mom the other day about how like her and my dad should go to therapy because of COVID and how like they just should because it's awesome and stuff.
I love that. It's so true. So kind of like where were you at like emotionally, mentally, what were you experiencing when you were like, okay, I think like also what, how did you perceive therapy growing up? I feel like that's a good place to start.
Yeah. So I guess growing up, honestly, I never even considered it like a thing. When I was younger, I had never heard of it. No one had ever told me anything about it. I didn't know anyone that was doing it. Like from my point of view, like no one had told me about it or anything. So I didn't really know it was a thing when I was younger. And then as I got older, when around 7th and 8th grade, like teachers start talking to you in health class about mental health, like a little bit, not a lot, but a little. And they'll say, you know, oh, you can always talk to somebody, or you see like kids help phone ads on TV. So it was just kind of something at that point that I was like, oh, it's for people that are like just having a rough time or whatever. Okay, cool. And then the way I got into it, it wasn't my idea. It was and it wasn't at the same time. But basically when I was, how old was I? 13. Yeah, I was 13. I had a close family member commit suicide. And it was very confusing for me. She had been mentally ill my entire life. She was diagnosed when she was 18, I guess. So for as long as I knew her, she was mentally ill, but I didn't know. My parents hid it from me. My sister, they didn't hide it, but it just wasn't something we talked about. It wasn't something they felt we needed to know. She just kind of was like, it sounds bad saying it, but like the weird aunt, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like she'd come over, we'd get together with her and only her at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it would be separate from everything else. And I later found out that was because she couldn't handle big gatherings, I guess. She was schizophrenic and bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really hard for her. Like even my dad would tell me stories, you know, later after she died, that like even just like with him and his siblings and his mom, like she couldn't do a dinner with all of them. It was just too much. So she'd come over separately and she would just like drink milk at dinner, where like my parents drank wine,
mm-hmm.
and all my parents' friends drank wine. So I was like, she's drinking milk and I'm drinking milk, like interesting. Or like if she gave us like candy at Christmas, it was always like something kind of weird and we weren't allowed to eat it. And it was just kind of this like weird taboo kind of thing, but I never really asked.
Yeah.
But basically, so I found out about that in grade 7. My parents like sat me and my sister down. We both got home from school and like they're both home, which was really weird. And they're like, we have to tell you something. And I was like, what? And then they told us and I was just kind of like, okay. I didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to do. Like I knew people like commit suicide, knew that was like a thing, but I just, that never happened to anybody I knew, anyone nearly like close to me at all, like never anything I had considered to be part of my life. So when it happened, I didn't know how to react. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay. Didn't ask why, didn't ask any questions. At this point, I still didn't know that she was mentally ill. I didn't know anything. Went to school the next day, didn't sleep all night, went to school, broke down in class. like crying. I had to run out of the classroom, and then I told my like teacher, and he just like left me in the hallway crying. He was like, okay, and just like left. It was bad. But so my school didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. My parents didn't know how to deal with it. We just didn't know what to do. We had a funeral, all that stuff, and kind of just life went on. But I was very emotionally and mentally fragile after for about a year. Mm-hmm. I would cry on like the drop of a dime. Like if I was outside for recess and like, you know, the guys were playing soccer or whatever, and the ball like just hit me in the ankle, just like by mistake. It didn't even hurt. I would just start like crying. Like I was holding myself together with like tape and glue. And I didn't know what to do. I wasn't sleeping at all.
Wow.
Yeah, I would sleep in my parents' room sometimes, like on their floor. But I still wouldn't sleep. I wasn't eating. I was not doing well. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to ask for help. This had never happened to me before. I was always like the smiliest kid ever. All my teachers called me Smiley. Like I was always happy-go-lucky. To the point where I had teachers coming up to me in the hallway at school who weren't my teacher anymore, asking me what was wrong because they had noticed that I was different. And it was just crazy. I didn't know what to do. Yeah. I don't know what to do. This has never happened to me before. It's never happened to anybody new. I just didn't know. And then, yeah, so I was having a lot of like emotional issues. I was spending like time in my room. I would go to school, come home, and sit in the dark in my room and like watch sad movies and cry. Like, I don't even know. It was crazy. So my parents kind of started to notice that I was acting weird. But they didn't really say anything at first. I think they were just like monitoring me. But I was trying to hide it pretty well from them. So when I'd go down for dinner, I'd like wipe my tears and like just try and like put on a face because I didn't like my dad was going through this as well. And I didn't want to like, I don't know. I kind of felt like I needed to be their perfect daughter that I'd always been. I'd always gotten good grades. I was always never caused any trouble. I was always very happy and I was very easy. And I wanted to stay easy for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of hid it from them. And then this kept going until about eighth grade. And then in eighth grade, I had my first panic attack, which I'd never had before. I don't know what it was, but basically I was at school. Just like I think we had a substitute teacher. My grade was fucking nuts. I don't know if I can swear. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can. You can. Yes.
Love it. My grade was nuts. So we're obviously just running around the classroom being insane. And I remember feeling really overwhelmed. And I was like, it's just really loud in here. And I was like, oh, and I was feeling really uncomfortable. And like everything felt really heavy and weird. And then the bell rang for recess. And I was like, fuck, I gotta get out of here. So I run into the hallway. I grab my friend from the other, she's in the other class and comes out of her room. I run around the corner and I don't remember anything after that. I remember feeling like I was crying, like my cheeks were wet. And then I was on the floor. And then an EA from another class, which is like an assistant for a special needs kid who knew me quite well, was holding me. Is all I knew. She had like scooped me up and like had me in her lap and was basically holding me. And I don't know what happened. I don't know. From having panic attacks further in my life, I'm assuming I was obviously crying and I just might have been screaming. I don't know. And basically I came to and the EA was like looking down at me and she was like, just come in the library. And I was like, okay. So she brought me to the library with my friend and I just kind of breathing calmed down eventually. And then I was kind of felt fine after. And then the principal took me into her office and I was like, fuck. Cause I was like, I don't want my parents to know about this. They can't know about this because earlier in, I was going to say the semester, but we didn't have semesters. It was school, but earlier in the year in eighth grade, I had almost passed out in class. Cause I wasn't eating. And they called my dad. And I was, oh my God. And he talked to me on the phone because he couldn't leave work and was like, you're too smart for this. Like, why would you do that? Like, you're too smart for this. And he was quite like a tough love situation.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, they're going to be mad. Like they're going to call them at work. Like they can't know about this. They can't know. So the principal sits me down and she knew me and she knows my dad because my dad's in the teacher. He's a teacher. So he's in the same board and stuff. So she sits me down and she's like asking me questions and she's like, has this ever happened before? And I was like, yeah, it happens all the time. And yeah, I just lied my ass off. And she was like, do your parents know that this happens? I was like, yeah, they know. She was like, okay. She's like, okay, just chill out in my office for the rest of the day. There was only like an hour left of school. And she was like, your friend can stay with you. Just chill here till you go home. I was like, okay. And she never called them.
That was
it. And they never found out. Yeah, and that was it.
Whoa.
That's fucking
crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy how they just believed me and didn't call my parents yet. They had never seen this behavior from me ever. But I was like, yeah, this happens all the time. And they were like, okay.
Huh.
Like, I look back at that and I'm like, you should have called my fucking parents.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But that school was a goddamn mess. So yeah, that was the first time I'd ever experienced a panic attack. Looking back in my life, I can see other times that I had experienced anxiety. Like as a kid, like I hated restaurants. They were so loud. Like my face would always go really, really red and I wouldn't ever really eat a lot. At then they were so loud and like just certain things, I can just see certain things. But that was the only first time I'd ever had like a panic attack where I was like, I am not in control of my body. So basically at this time in my life, I was having, like I was depressed. I was having a lot of anxiety and I don't remember how it happened, how the conversation came up with my parents. I don't think I brought it up. I think my mom brought it up to me. We were talking about, I had finally said something. No, this is what happened. I remember now. I was sitting in the kitchen and this was like in eighth grade, kind of after this panic attack had happened. And I was like, kind of like thinking, okay, I need help. I need to do something about this. I can't just keep trying to deal with this myself. I can't do it. So I was sitting in the kitchen with my mom and I just kind of was like asking about my aunt. And I finally just kind of said like, what happened? Because I had never asked and no one had ever said anything. And I was just kind of like, what happened? My mom ended up telling me. So she was schizophrenic and bipolar. She had been, you know, in and out of the hospital like her whole life and everything. And basically doctors just never got her medication right. And the night of her death, basically her boyfriend had dumped her. And then she drank a whole bottle of wine.
Oh.
And she's not allowed to drink because of her medication. And then she jumped off her balcony.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's all of the story we know. But my mom finally told me that. And she said, you know, like she struggled with mental health her whole life. And that's just kind of what happened. And I was like, okay, so this is a thing. Like I knew enough at that point to know that like mental illness can go through the family and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, I clearly have something going on. So I was kind of like, we were kind of just having this conversation. And my mom just kind of said to me, would you want to talk to somebody about all this? And what I had kind of done is I had all this stuff, I think, was initially triggered by my aunt's death, but I was going through a lot else now. You know, these panic attacks weren't driven by thoughts of her or anything. They're just happening. And then these depressive episodes, it wasn't about her anymore. It was about just me and my own mental health. But I kind of used her death as a way to, I don't know, excuse what was going on with my parents. So I didn't want to be like, this is a me thing. I am broken. I didn't want to say that because I couldn't, for whatever reason. I couldn't ask for help. I couldn't say that this is.
Yeah. Sorry. Like, I think it's hard when like, I definitely experienced something similar with my parents where it's kind of just like something bad happens and it's like swept under the rug. And then you just like, don't talk about it. And it's like, it's hard when, especially when you're in grade eight too, because like my dad's dad passed away when I was in grade eight and it was very much like swept under the rug. And like, it's so hard because you're great. Like when you're in grade eight, you're still pretty young, but you know enough and you're mature enough about the world that you like know your parents are hurting and know your parents are going through a lot. So it's like, you don't want to make it worse. And then like that kind of thing though would obviously stick with you for a really long time, especially if you can't vocalize it and understand it. And so I don't know, it just like makes sense how that could be like kind of maybe like a triggering or a breaking point or like a, you know, a thing to like start a ripple effect.
Yeah. So basically that just kind of, it just started all for me. And then I kind of just used it as a way to get help for myself, I guess. So basically my mom, I kind of just said, you know, would you want to talk to somebody about all this? And I was like, yeah. Okay. And they were like, okay, well, I'm going to look into like our insurance to see what it covers. And, you know, we'll talk about it. And I was like, okay, cool. So basically what ended up happening is I didn't see a therapist. I saw a counselor. So they're like a level down in price and education and everything. So they're kind of like the next best thing if you can't afford a therapist. And they're completely covered by my dad's insurance because he's a teacher. So that's where I went first. And I will say it's a big difference between counseling and actual therapy. Like a big difference. When I was in counseling, I didn't get any better. Mm-hmm. It didn't help. Which I think it could help for people if you're kind of going through a situational issue. But for me, it was, like I said before, it was no longer situational. It was just my mental health in general. So I think, you know, if you're going through a really bad breakup or, you know, a death or something like that, I think counseling could really help. They're still very knowledgeable. But I needed like clinical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know it at the time. So basically I went to this therapist, once a week, and I was still embarrassed about everything and I was still really young. So I kind of really didn't open up to any of them. I saw a few different ones and it never really got me anywhere. I kind of just ended up, looking to social media for help, for advice and just kind of fixing myself, if that makes sense, which did not work long term. I will say that did not work long term at all. It worked short term. I was in eighth grade with it. Like,
yeah,
you know, so I just kind of like, I started writing myself letters before I go to bed because mornings were hard for me.
Mm.
Hated the mornings. I was late to school every single day in eighth grade. I hated the mornings. So at night before I went to bed, I started writing myself letters for the morning, just compliments. Like, aww, you are going to do great today. Like something good's going to happen today, whatever. And I would put them in my nightstand. And then when I woke up in the morning, I'd read it. And then I'd be like, okay, you can do this. Aww. And that was something, I think that was something I picked up from social media, I think. But that's kind of what I started doing. And then, things kind of just got a little better. And then I just kind of went on with my life. So that's kind of where everything started. And then I didn't have a lot of anxiety after that. It kind of, everything was kind of on pause. I still wasn't doing super well, still wasn't eating a lot. But I was just kind of like functioning at that point. And then high school came and things got a lot worse. My anxiety like spiked. And it was really rough. Basically, I struggled to make friends because I struggled to talk to anybody. Everything was really intimidating. I loved going to like concerts and stuff, but after, it was interesting. It was always after them, not during. I was okay during them, but after them, I wouldn't sleep all night. I'd have panic attacks the next day. Like I was having panic attacks at school. I was having anxiety during tests. I wasn't finishing tests. Stuff was getting really bad. And then around 10th grade, starting to the point where I kept having to call my mom at school because I was having panic attacks in the bathroom, screaming and crying on the bathroom floor, and she needed to come get me.
Wow.
And I was having to call her to come get me and stuff. And after that had happened like twice, my mom was like, "We're going to the doctor." And I was like, "Okay, all right, let's go to the doctor." So we went to my doctor. And he was like, "I want to put you on a mood stabilizer." Yeah, he wanted to put me on Prozac, if anyone knows what that is.
Oh, wow.
In grade 10. Yeah. And he was like, "And I want you to see a counselor." Again, I saw a counselor. So my parents decided against Prozac because it came with a lot of side effects. And basically with Prozac, so mental illness typically doesn't develop until 18 to 23. It's kind of the window. Typically can happen before, but that's typically when you're going to develop like schizophrenia, which was the worry amongst, you know, my sister and I and my parents. Like I was kind of like the concern because of my aunt's history. And my dad's other sister is also mentally ill, but diagnosed because she will not go to the doctor. But she is mentally ill. So with Prozac, if you go on it, it can bring forward a mental illness that you would have developed later in life. you'll develop it earlier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's the situation. So like, let's say you, cause you're, if you're schizophrenic, you're always schizophrenic your whole life, but it, you may not start to show symptoms of it, which is the hallucinations, the voices, until let's a certain age. So if you are schizophrenic, you just don't know yet, and you start taking Prozac, it can trigger symptoms,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. And my parents were like, no, we just don't want that. You're too young. You're relatively successful in school. I was doing quite well. He was like, they were like, you don't need to deal with that right now. So we decided against it, which wasn't really my choice. But whatever, I trusted my parents. We went to a naturopath instead.
How'd that go? Because I know some people really like naturopaths. I've never been to mm-hmm. one. I don't really know what that experience is like, but
yeah. So I went to one. She gave me all these different supplements to take, and I started taking them, and they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything for me. I had what was it called? GABA, like GABA 6 or something like that. And I was supposed to take it when I was feeling anxious. I took like 7 in one day because I had like an essay to write and I was losing my mind, and they didn't do anything. Yeah. I'm sure I've heard that they've helped other people, but for my body, for my mind, did not work out. So yeah. So I kind of was just, again, kind of just living with it at that point. I had started seeing a different counselor. She was a little better, I will say mm-hmm. that. She gave me some, we were kind of just working on coping strategies for when panic attacks happen, instead of prevention.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because I think that's just all she knew how to do.
Mm.
So that helped. It helped me deal with them when they did happen, but they were still happening. And then at this point I was getting no treatment for my mood swings, mm-hmm. my depressive episodes. I was getting nothing for that. I was just, again, just dealing with it. Yeah. And then I went to program support, and I had a letter from my naturopath saying that I needed extra time for tests because of my anxiety. And they were like, yeah, okay, cool. So from that point on, I was writing all of my tests in the program support room, and I had as much time as I wanted to do them. And that started, I want to say by this point, I was in grade 11.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was at that point, and that's kind of where I stayed all the way from grade 11 to grade 12. I eventually stopped going to the counselor because I got a job, I was busy with school, and I was like, I was functioning at this point. She had kind of taught me all she could.
Yeah.
So I canceled an appointment one day because I was too busy to go, and then just like never rescheduled one ever again. I don't know. I wasn't getting anything from it anymore. So yeah. So for anyone interested, I guess what she had kind of done with me was we talked through like strategies for when I'm having a panic attack or when I'm having like an anxiety attack, kind of what to do. So we talked about counting the bricks on the walls, going through the ABCs backwards.
The ABCs backwards.
Yeah, which I can't do.
No, I could never do that in my life. I can't even tell you, like I wow. I have to start at A, or I can start at J, or else I can't even do the ABCs.
Yeah, me neither. So that's the whole kind of thing, is it's supposed to occupy your mind. And then we also went through the 5 things you can see, 5 things you can smell, 5 things you can feel, 5 things you can hear. And I feel like there was one more, but I can't remember. But yeah, so we went through that too. So if you're having a panic attack and you're, it's just kind of like to ground you kind of, yeah. And be like, where are you? What's around you? Yeah, so that's kind of how I was doing. I was, to not say it lightly, just kind of suffering through life in a bad way. But yeah, still having panic attacks at school and stuff was really embarrassing. Sometimes I'd have them in front of people that I kind of didn't really know. That was just kind of like class friends, and it was just awkward and weird, and I didn't have a lot of friends, and I wasn't able to connect with new people just because I couldn't handle it. I never went to any parties just because I couldn't do it. And I didn't drink either because I was like just too scared to like be inhibited in any way, because I didn't know what I was going to feel like or what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, life was kind of just scary for me. I was kind of just trying to do what I was comfortable with. And then I was kind of like preparing, it was grade 12, I was preparing to go to university. I wanted to go to university. I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go. And then I kind of came to the realization that I was like, I can't go. Because I, at this point, I was just living with my parents. My sister was away at school. And my parents, I couldn't be left alone overnight. I could be left alone during the day. That was fine. But I couldn't be left alone overnight. If they went to a cottage, they went somewhere away for the weekend, I wouldn't sleep all night. I'd have panic attacks, like multiple in the night. I would be calling them in the middle of the night, having them on the phone with me all night. I couldn't do it. And I was like, well, I can't go somewhere new, live in residence with all new people. I can't do this. I'm not gonna be able to do it. So I kind of came to that realization and I was like, okay. I was like, I need to figure this out because this is what I want to do. I am a smart girl. I want to be successful. I want to be able to, I want to get out of this stupid town and meet new people and have fun. I want to do the whole residence thing. I was like, I want to do this. This is something I want. This is something I think I need. So I need to fix myself, kind of. And fixing yourself is a bad term, but that's where my head was at the time. So I kind of ended up telling my parents and they kind of knew at the same time that I couldn't go. Like, I mean, they knew, cause I was pretty open with them at this point about, cause I mean, I was calling them, I needed to, I couldn't do it alone. So we kind of just sat down and I was like, I think I should just take a year off because you know, I can't do this. And they're like, yeah, we support you. So that whole thing was really embarrassing for me in general. And looking back on it, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. So many people do it for so many different reasons. But I was just like so embarrassed.
It's really crazy to hear. I'm so happy we're sitting and talking about all this because it's so crazy to hear kind of like, because I know bits and pieces, but it's really interesting to get the full story. But think about, because so much of it reminds me of different experiences we had in first year together. Like when, you know, when you said concerts, you know, you would enjoy them, but go home and then you wouldn't be able to sleep. And I know that would happen like when we'd go out and we'd party, you'd come back and then you're like, your body would just like not be happy with you. And I think it would be just like the drastic difference between the two. And even like, you should be so proud of yourself for how far you've come. Dude, literally quarantine hit and like you spent so much time by yourself in the apartment. Like all of us literally left. And like the fact that like, I'm excited to hear kind of like what you discovered in your gap year. And I'm sure I know little bits and pieces here and there, but just like how far you've come from where you were then to where you are now is insane. And like, I'm also like, it makes sense. I feel like times of change would be even more heightened and just anxiety inducing. Cause like, holy shit, when shit hits the fan, like COVID or even just moving into a new residence, like I remember how hard it was to adjust when we first moved into our apartment last year.
Yeah, I've come, I feel like a completely different person from the person I was. Like I was, oh my gosh, like I was just so different. I was so struggling to be a social being, which is so unfortunate because I love people and I love having fun. And like, I just remember like just the so many times that I was literally like physically ill. Like I used to throw up all the time because I would get so physically sick from being so anxious and it was so horrible. And now that hasn't happened in, it's been 2 months, but before that I was going on a streak of like 6 months, which is insane because that was like a weekly occurrence. Yeah. So basically I took a year off. I got a full-time job. I was working two jobs at this point. And I was like, okay, take a year off. I'm going to make my freaking money. And I'm going to take care of myself. So at this point, I was talking to my mom and I was like, okay, I want to get like some real ass therapy. Like I need this real shit, not this counselor ass shit. And they're like, okay. So my mom did a bunch of research and talked to some friends. She has a really close family friends. Their daughter was also having a lot of issues and was seeing a therapist. And they were like, we've looked into so many different clinics. Like they are top notch, like go to them. And we're like, okay, sold, done. So it's really expensive. It's $280 or $320 a session, and that's an hour. Yeah, so it's really expensive. My insurance from my dad, because he's a teacher, covers 8 sessions. So I had 8 free chef sessions, and we couldn't really pay for any more than that. So I was like, okay, this is what I have. I have a time crunch to do this. It's to fix myself was kind of my whole mindset. I was like, okay, let's go. I'm here. I'm going to put all the work in. I'm going to do this. So I went to this therapist. My first one I had, she was a woman. And I just kind of gave her my whole backstory. I gave her my goals, which is I want to be able to go to school and not have to come home a month later. Basically, I was like, I want to conquer being alone. I want to, just get over my anxiety. So at this point, my whole target was my anxiety. My mood swings and my depressive episodes kind of just went on the back burner. I kind of myself just kind of diagnosed that as being an angsty teen. And I hadn't really visited that. That kind of just went in the back, which it shouldn't have. But we'll get to that. So basically I ended up doing 9 sessions with okay. this woman. I had homework every single time. I saw her about every 2 to 3 weeks because I would spread it out over time because they were so limited. So I just kind of spread them out. But basically little by little, we worked through, a diagnosis. Initially, she thought I had separation anxiety, which is typically only seen in babies and like young kids. So it was really weird because I couldn't be left alone without my parents, overnight, but that just didn't end up fitting the bill. We figured out, we were just like, you know what? No, it's not really that. So she diagnosed me with panic disorder and generalized anxiety. And we just got to work. So basically what we had done for me, is we just kind of started going through the strategy of, what's real and what's not. When I was feeling panicked, when I was having an anxious thought, I had to physically write down the facts of what was happening and my perception of what was going on. I'm trying to think of an example. Yeah, okay. So I went to a dermatologist and I have rosacea, but I wanted to see if there's anything I could do about it. So I went to this dermatologist by myself, because my parents were at work. And I went, whatever. I'd never been to a dermatologist before. It was a private clinic. And I saw him. He gave me some prescriptions. And when I go to my doctor's office, he prints the prescriptions in the room with me and hands them to me. This doctor didn't do that. He was like, okay, bye. And what I didn't know was you have to get the prescriptions from the front desk, ladies at the desk. And he said, bye. And I was like, okay, bye. And I was like, I don't have these prescriptions. And I left.
Oh.
I was like, I don't know what to do. I'm leaving. And I just left. And then I got in the lobby and I was like, shit, I needed those, but I left. I can't go back. I was like, I can't go back. I'm going to look so stupid if I go back. So I called my mom and I'm like, I don't know what to do. They didn't give me the prescriptions. Like, are they going to be emailed to me or what? And my mom was like, oh no, you need to get them in reception. Just go back and say you forgot to grab them. And I was like, I can't do that. And she was like, what do you mean you can't do that? And I was like, I can't do that. For whatever reason, my brain was just like, you can't do that. You're going to look so dumb. That's so ridiculous. Like, just no. And so basically I ended up sitting in the lobby. It was on like the 5th floor or whatever, sitting in the lobby for an hour.
Wow.
Because I couldn't move. I was so conflicted in my brain because half my brain was like, just get up and go. It's not a big deal. And the other half of my brain is like, no, it was just no, like I can't move. So I'm sitting there in the lobby and I sat there for an hour trying to just move my body. Like I couldn't even move. And my mom's calling me and I kept declining her call because I couldn't even talk to her. And then my boyfriend at the time is calling me and it's like, do you need me to pick you up? And I'm like, no, because I was just so embarrassed and I didn't know what to do. So eventually in that situation, I was like, okay, get a hold of yourself. And I ended up doing, you know, my perception of what was happening versus the facts of what was happening. So the facts are I left without the prescriptions. I need the prescriptions. I can get the prescriptions. I need to ask for the prescriptions. That's what was going on. My thoughts were, I'm going to look dumb. They're going to think about this for the rest of the day. It's like a walk of shame.
Mm-hmm.
What if they don't have them? What if they were emailed to me and I can't check my email because I don't have data on my phone? I'm going to look so stupid. And then I just had to go through it and I had to rationalize myself. And I was like, you don't know these people. Whether they think you're dumb or not doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Their perception of you doesn't matter. What matters for you right now is you need to get these prescriptions so you can get this medication for your rosacea. And so I ended up bustering up the courage to go up there. So after an hour, so I've also waited an hour, which is also stressing me out, then, because it was like the more time that went by, I was like, the more time that goes by, the dumber I look, but I can't move.
Wow.
And just, I look back at it now and I'm like, me now would have just been like, oh shit, and gone and get them. But I wasn't in a place where I could do that. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going back up and I call up to the front desk and I'm like, hi, like I was here a little while ago and I think I forgot my prescriptions. And she was like, oh yeah, they're right here. Here you go.
And I was like, and you just, you leave and you're like, wow.
Yeah. And I left and I was like, I hate myself. I was like, oh, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck was that? So I leave and I'm like, oh my God. And every situation that I faced as I was trying to get over my anxiety taught me something. So going through that, as dumb as that whole thing was, looking back on it, going through that, I will never do that again. Because I know I can go up and I can ask and it's going to be okay. And the world's not going to light on fire. So
it's crazy, you know, how much bigger like things are in our head. We make things such a big deal and then you do it and then you're like, oh my God, why the fuck did I just spend an hour? Right. But it's hard when I think things just become such a big deal and you have to face your fear and work through the anxiety to be like, oh, okay. This was not as ginormous as I thought it was.
Exactly. It's all about conquering your fears. And then once you do, you can take that experience with you through every other nervous experience you're going to have. And like now I can go to a different doctor and I can ask them when I'm sitting there, hey, do I grab my prescriptions from you or the front desk?
Yeah.
And now I know that I can ask that and it's okay. And it's good for me to ask that because then I just know and I don't have to go, am I grabbing it from the front desk? What am I doing? I learned to ask questions, even if they sound dumb, so I know what to expect. Because for me personally, I like to know versus me not knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just an example of going through like my thoughts versus what's really happening in the moment. So yeah, we went through that. I had a lot of homework. I was to do that every single time I had an anxious thought. And basically, I worked with her for, I want to say like 7 months, and I got a prescription from my doctor, for lorazepam and then for clonazepam because lorazepam just wasn't really doing anything for me. And that was basically, I would take that if I was going to stay by myself overnight and it would just like knock me out to sleep. Or I could take that if I was having a panic attack or an anxiety attack kind of after, and I would just kind of relax me. And that was kind of for emergencies kind of situation, take as you need kind of thing. So that's kind of what I was doing. And I was going through that year. I'd gotten a boyfriend for this first time. And I was experiencing new things with that. We were going on trips, together, which was kind of and totally new for me. I had never, you know, done that without having my parents there or whatever. So around February, we went to Ottawa and stayed two nights in an Airbnb, and I was nervous for this because I was like, okay, this is the first time I'm going to be overnight away from my parents. Okay, let's try this out. You can do it. So the first night we're like lying in bed, we're about to go to bed, and I'm like, fuck, I'm going to throw up. I'm like, damn it. So I run to the bathroom, my head's in the toilet, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, and this is, you know, it's a typical anxiety symptom for me is getting physically sick. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight. And I started going in my head, I'm not gonna be able to sleep tonight. I'm gonna be up sick all night. This is so embarrassing. I've only been dating this guy for like 3 months. He's gonna think I'm freaking crazy. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And then I thought to myself, you know, what would my therapist tell me right now? And what we had been working on was just staying grounded. If you're having anxiety, don't fight it. Don't be like, this can't be happening, blah, blah, blah. Sit with it. It's here with you. It's part of you. It's part of your life. It's not going to go anywhere. If you are like, get out, it's not going to listen. So just sit with it. Sit with it. Find peace within it. Sounds insane, but it's was true. What I was working on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that. And I was like, this guy's really nice. I thought at the time, but whatever. I was like, I can do this. So I get up, I go sit on the bed, and I'm like, I am having an anxiety moment. I need a second. And he's like, okay, what can I do? He's like, can I like put my hand like on your leg or something? And I was like, no, don't touch me. I was like, don't touch me. I was like, thank you so much, but please do not touch me. Pretend like you're a corpse, please. And he was like, okay. So I sat up in the bed, I sat cross-legged, and I had found that the scent of lavender was really nice for me for whatever reason. So I had this hand cream that I had made from some lavender essential oil and just some unscented hand cream. And I sat cross-legged on the bed and I put this hand cream on and I put my hands over my nose and my mouth like this. I'm sorry, I'm holding my phone, but like this. And I closed my eyes and I just took some deep breaths and I talked to myself out loud, which was very embarrassing, but I did it. And just kind of said, listen, everything's fine. You're safe where you are. The door is locked. You're going to go to bed. You're going to have a good sleep and everything's going to be fine because you can do this. Aww. You sleep in your bed all the time. It's a bed in a different place, but it's still a bed. There's nothing wrong with it. And I feel like that took me like 10 minutes to kind of just ground myself. And then I went to bed.
Wow.
And it was crazy. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, holy shit, I did that.
Oh.
I was like, oh my God, I did that. And I was like, it was such an like crazy moment because I hadn't ever done that.
Yeah.
Even when I was younger at sleepovers at friends' houses, I never slept ever. And so for the first time in my life, I slept somewhere that wasn't my bed at home with my parents. And I was like, oh my God, I'm an adult. And it was the first glimpse of I can do this.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh my God. So I went to my therapist and I told her about it. And it was, and from there we just kept going. And it was just kept conquering every little thing that I hated doing, talking on the phone. We're conquering that next, answering the door, conquering that next. And we just kept moving forward. And I just kind of got more comfortable, more comfortable, more comfortable. And I was going longer and longer and longer without having a panic attack. Mm-hmm. And my parents were going away for one night, two nights, and it was getting better and better and better. And to the point where they would go away for two nights and I would sleep both nights.
Nice.
And I was like, felt on top of the world. And I was so proud of myself. So I stopped going to the therapist once my money ran out, I guess, because I had printouts of information from her and I could take what I had learned. And I was like, okay, I'm good. I can move forward myself. I can do it. So I was still having panic attacks sometimes. They were very situational though, in a way that made sense to me, which I was okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, when they were random in the hallways at school, like that's not okay. But if they're really situational, something really weird's going on in my life, all right, whatever, that's fine. I had come to a point where I had accepted that this was part of who I am,
mm-hmm.
and part of my life, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that comes into my life, if they're going to judge me for that, I don't want them. I don't want them in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of where I was at. And I was getting ready to come to school. I had applied to Ryerson. I picked out, my res. I had found out my roommate was going to be Jessica McDonald. I stalked her on Instagram and I was ready and everything was going really well and hadn't had a panic attack in a long time and whatever. And then it was about 4 days before I was about to move. And me and my boyfriend at the time, things were not going very well with us because I was moving away. He wasn't. There was a lot of underlying tension, a lot, very messy. And basically, he came over. We were going to go to the beach. And I am a person that I'm working on it, but I had a lot of body issues. I didn't go to the beach for like years because I just didn't want to wear a bathing suit. It wasn't my thing. And I was trying to find a bathing suit that would fit me, but I had gotten on birth control and my boobs had blown up like watermelons and I didn't have one that fit me. I didn't have one that I felt good in. And I started to feel really, really panicked. And so I laid down in bed and I was just lying in my bed in my room. And he didn't know how to deal with it, I think. I'm not going to blame it on him. I would never do that. But we're sitting in my bed and he's like, come on, like, we got to go. Like, it's a decent drive. Like, what are you doing? And he was just kind of like, what I felt was I was being like nagged and I needed a minute, but I didn't know how to say I needed a minute. And I just kept saying, I don't know what's happening. And I was feeling really like weird and down. And he was just like, I don't know. He was trying to be encouraging, but it was not working. It wasn't what I needed. And he said to me, he was like, this isn't fair to me. Like, how do you think this makes me feel? Like, we had plans. And I felt it in my stomach. My stomach turned and I knew it was about to happen. And I knew my dad was downstairs and I looked him in the eyes and I said, get my dad. Aww. And he was like, what? And I said, get my dad right now. And he runs out of my room and him and my dad were not friends, not at all. And I hear him and my dad talking and my dad runs up the stairs. Aww. And I unleash, I'm screaming, like blood curdling. It was horrible. Screaming, I'm crying, I'm losing it. My dad's just like holding me, I'm holding my dad, and this guy is just standing. He had never seen this.
Yeah.
And he's standing like in my doorway, probably looking like a freaking ghost. And so my dad calms me down, I get calmed down, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I need to be alone right now. And my dad like leans over to hug me and I kind of lie myself down. So he comes with me and I whisper in his ear, I'm like, get him out of here. I was like, get him out. And our relationship was at a very rocky point at this point. It was very bad. Things had been bad for a while. And my dad's like, okay. So my dad asked him.
I can just
him,
picture your dad, you and your dad just having a moment. He's like, I got this. I got you.
Yeah. And I was just so, it was so awkward. I'm dead, but I'm dying about it. But yeah, so my dad takes him out in the hallway and is like, you know, after this happens, like, she likes to be alone and whatever. So he's like, oh my God, okay. And leaves. And it was so awkward. But basically, I spent the rest of my day in my bed in the dark, took the medication. And yeah, but I mean, it was what it was. It happened because I was moving in 4 days. I was nervous. It was for a reason. And I was like, you know what? Like, whatever.
I feel like there were so many factors, like underlying issues with your relationship too.
Oh yeah.
Being triggered by going to the beach. Like, there's a lot mm-hmm. going on.
Exactly. I wanted to break up with this guy, but it just wasn't, I didn't know how to do it. I still loved him, whatever. There was a lot happening and it was just a really overwhelming moment. But after, because what used to happen was I would have panic attacks and then after I'd cry and I'd be like, I hate that this happens to me. I hate this. I don't want to be this person, blah, 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 blah. And I would be so hard on myself and just make it all worse. But after this, I just laid in my bed in the dark and I just focused on calming myself down. And I had just learned to really find self-love and to really just be like, that was okay.
Yeah.
That happened because you were dealing with all these different stress factors. You had a moment, you're calmed down, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where improvement kind of was for me, was learning to be okay with it, learning not to fight it, learning to almost find comfort in it, to be like, that was something my body needed. I've been nervous about this move for 2 months and I've been thinking about this breakup for like 2 months and here we are. And then, you know, I moved on with my life the next day. And then I moved.
Yeah.
And I moved, no problem. And I slept my first night in that res, no problem.
Crazy.
And yeah, so that's kind of where my anxiety was at that point. And I mean, yeah, I just coming to peace with it, which I wouldn't have been able to do. I would not have been able to do that, to learn to do that without going to therapy. I needed help.
Yeah.
And I like owe my life to that lady. I don't even know her name. I'll be honest.
You don't? Oh, that's so
funny. It had so many letters. Oh, okay. I don't know what it was.
That's so funny because I feel like we always refer to like we are very aware of your therapist's name, and we always talk about like my, I always say my therapist by her name. Whenever I do podcast episodes, I'm like, you can't say her name, Jess. That's so funny.
So I was doing well. I was okay. I was still having a few panic attacks at school, like orientation day for my program. I had a panic attack and I had to leave. But that was okay. It was fine. It was very overwhelming. And yeah, I was just kind of dealing with that. And then, you know, flash forward, a lot goes on. First year of university, stress. I was having, you know, a lot of emotional breakdowns. I was fighting constantly with this guy I was with. I was still with him, and I was fighting with him a lot. And it was Christmas break, and our whole relationship just like came to a head. And I don't even know. I was trying to figure out what to do with all of that. I just wasn't doing well emotionally. I was having a lot of breakdowns. I wasn't myself. And my mom ended up saying to me, she was like, you should go back to therapy. I think you should go back because you're not yourself. Mm. They're like, she was like, you're not yourself right now. I've never seen you act like this. I was so moody. I was like, not aggressive physically, but like just agitated. I was upset. I was crying all the time. I just like was not doing well. And she was like, I think you should go back. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go back. So I looked up my lady that I typically went to, and she wasn't, you know, practicing anymore. And I was like, oh, shit. And I was like, okay. But the office that I had gone to also had a location in Toronto, downtown, 10 minutes away from my apartment. And I was like, sick. I'm going to meet with one of them, see how it goes. So I met over Christmas break with this therapist who I will not name, but I do know his name this time. and we started working together, and we, you know, talked through what I was going through with this relationship. He helped me with that. And now, yeah, I still talk to him. For me, it's an extra person to talk to. It's a person I don't know. It's a person I don't have to worry about, like, having a negative perception of me. Yeah. It's not like he's my best friend. It's not like he's one of my parents. Like, he's a stranger in a way that I can just be so open and honest with, that because I don't have to worry about how he feels about it, because he's being paid to do this.
Yeah.
I don't have to be like, oh my God, I'm talking his ear off, or oh my God, he probably thinks I'm so annoying, or oh my God, he's not going to want to hang out with me anymore, or oh, he's going to, like, you know, like, be like, oh, he's going to lose sleep over whether I'm doing okay or not. Fuck no, okay? So it's just someone that I'm not connected to any other way other than I pay him to listen to me bitch. And it's great. And I just find it's an awesome outlet, because if you're having negative emotions, negative thoughts, negative life experiences, to talk it out and get it off your chest is so important. Even if it doesn't change your situation or change what's going on, releasing all those pent up thoughts is a cleanse in a way. And I think people don't totally believe that until they do it. Mm-hmm. Because I've said that to a lot of people, because again, I'm the biggest advocate for therapy to ever exist. And people are like, that sounds so stupid. And I'm like, bitch, I know.
Literally,
I know.
It's so crazy, but it's actually life changing though. Like, you told me how impactful it was in your life, and like planted such a seed in my brain. And then as soon as I started to experience it, I was like, holy fuck, I know exactly what Dana's talking about. This is literally changing my life. This my girl will freaking, I was about to say her name. She'll like, I swear I'll be going to her forever, like, or as long as I can, whenever I need, because it just, it's so crazy, the feeling I have entering therapy. It's like so shitty. So like, there's so many things on your chest. There's so much stress. There's so much like stress, like all in your chest, and just tightness and badness. And I leave and I'm like, like, wow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's
do
a release.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's such a release. Sometimes, oh my God. Sometimes I find though, after therapy sessions, it's so emotional that for the rest of the day, I'm like, oh my God, I need to just check out.
Yeah, it depends how deep you're going, but it can definitely be tiring at points, but that's okay. Again, like, we all need to grow a patience with ourselves. And if you need a break, take a break.
Yeah.
If you can't do today, don't do today. If you need to call in sick to work because you don't feel like you can, you know, be the, hi, how are you today person, then do it. We aren't robots. We are people with deep, meaningful feelings, and it's okay to acknowledge them. It's okay to have them. And the more people try and just put on a fake smile and fight through shit, the worse it's gonna get.
Yeah.
Which is, I didn't know any of this until I went to therapy and learned it. And it's changed my entire outlook on myself, my outlook on my life, and has turned me into the person I am today. It has given me more positivity than I had before, even though I was, you know, before all this, a pretty still happy-go-lucky person. It's just given me so much patience and love for myself.
It's so important. It's so much worse when we have negative feelings and then we're like, why the fuck am I having these feelings? Fuck this. Mm-hmm. It's like, that just amplifies it and makes it worse.
Yeah. If the world's being hard on you, why be hard on yourself?
Yeah.
Why make it worse for yourself? Like, if you're having a bad day, if you're having a negative emotion, if you're having anxiety, if you're having depression, you're having it. You're having it whether you're going, this is stupid, I hate this, why am I feeling like this? You're going to have it either way. So why make it harder for yourself? Yeah. Find what gives you peace and just take a breath. Take a breath and accept yourself. Accept yourself for the good, accept yourself for the bad. Because at the end of the day, you have you. You're in this body and this mind for your life. Why make an enemy out of it?
Dana, yeah. Whoa, you're just spitting facts.
Facts left, right, and center, bitch.
Oh my God. I'm so happy that we had this conversation and recorded it and people are going to get to listen to it. And I hope that people will take so much away from this. I feel like I'm just making up November. Like the theme of my podcast is therapy because, and mental health.
Love it.
I did one episode by myself. I had one episode from a girl I actually went to middle school with who like barely went to school in middle school. Cause she had a lot of mental health issues and like how she worked through that. And now this, like, I just feel so lucky to talk about all this stuff.
Yes. It's so great to talk about. And the more we talk about it, the more we normalize it. Because I think back to myself in seventh and eighth grade, hiding my panic attacks from my parents, hiding my depression from my parents. And if I had seen in the media, on TV, like on podcasts or whatever, people talking so openly about this, I would have known how to help myself. Yeah. And I probably would have done it sooner. If someone had said, hey, what you're feeling is okay, you're not crazy, that would have gone so far. Mm-hmm. With me. So to anyone out there who is listening, who is struggling, you are not crazy. You're not insane. You are a person. We have issues. It's who we are. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't make you worse than other people. It doesn't make you a freak. Some people don't have anxiety. Some people don't have depression. But if you do, you do. That doesn't mean you're less than them. It doesn't mean you matter any less. It just means some things might be a little harder for you. But just believe in yourself, and that's where it starts. And, you know, for me now at this point, I have talked thoroughly through all this with my family doctor. They're very aware. My therapist is very aware. My parents are very aware of everything. At this point right now, I'm on an antidepressant and anti-anxiety medication. It's all in one medication that I started just a few months ago during the summer because COVID was getting really hard and I was having the worst depression of my life. And I've worked with my doctor about getting the dosage right for me, and I feel better than ever at this point with my mood swings that don't really exist anymore. Honestly, I have bad days. Everyone has bad days. You're always going to have bad days. It's not a happy pill. It's not how it works, but it's just about, getting to not a crazy low point. And my anxiety is really manageable. I can do a lot of the things I was never able to do. And there's nothing wrong with therapy. There's nothing wrong with getting help. There's nothing wrong with being medicated. I'm a medicated person. I probably will be for the rest of my life. What's wrong with that? Nothing. That doesn't make you matter any less. That doesn't make you crazy. It's not that, you know, your regular personality sucks and you have to take this medication to make you better. No, it's not about that. It's about how is it going to be the easiest for you to live your life?
Yeah.
And if I need to take a pill every morning to make my life easier to live, fine by me. Some people are deficient in vitamin B and they have to take a vitamin B pill. Are they crazy?
No.
No.
Great fucking example.
It's no different than a vitamin. It's no different from something like that. It's really not.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my spiel. That's my speech.
You just need a mic drop after that. That was so good. Thank you so much. Oh my God. I'm so happy you came on to have this conversation.
Yes.
Is there anywhere human to human? Is there anywhere you'd want people to follow you as well on Instagram or social media of any kind?
Oh my God. Yes. Follow me on Instagram, Dana_McMahon, I guess. I don't post often, but I'm posting a lot more recently because why not? That's also a thing I used to be anxious about with posting. I'd be like, this is so weird. But now I'm like, if I see something cute, I'll post it on my story or whatever.
Love it.
It's just about getting over things in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But shout out to Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Clinic in Ajax in Toronto. They're great. If you're interested in them, check out their website. I believe
it'll be linked. I'll link
it. It'll be linked because I don't know what it is. Awesome.
Yeah. Can I link your I take really cool, or what is it? What's your Instagram handle? I take
pics, or I take cool pics sometimes or something like that. Photography Instagram. I just got a camera developed. So I'm gonna do a film drop thing. Yeah. I like to take photos of stuff.
Nice.
But if you're ever wondering about therapy, Google, ask your friends. Email therapy clinics, email them, say what's going on, ask for their pricing. You know, schools are okay. They have some counselors you can talk to. You can start with counseling if you're struggling with money. There's kids help phone. There's a lot of online services right now. But reach out. Don't struggle because why?
There's no struggle alone as well too. No, like it's so important to
not at all.
Talk to people, and that's why I created Human to Human. This life is hard enough ourselves, or this life is hard enough when we're doing it together. So we should not have to struggle, be on the struggle bus alone.
Exactly. All aboard.
All aboard. Sweet. Okay. Well, follow me on Instagram as well at Jessica J. McDonald. And I post every Tuesday and Friday, and subscribe to the podcast. And I'm excited to, also, I feel like you'll be on again, like for sure. So stay tuned for more Dana stories.
Love it.